Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the King. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue. And purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the King. Oh yeah, this is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire to be used by you. You wanna be real. You wanna be emptied inside. And I know my heart is to feel you near. And I know my life is to do your will. Is to do your will. This is my desire.
Every branch in me not bearing fruit, he takes away.
everyone bearing fruit he cleansed, and that he may bear more fruit. You are already clean because the word that I have spoke to you. Remain in union with me, and I in union with you. Just the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it remains in the vine. In the same way, neither can you unless you remain in union with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that remains in union with me, and I in union with him, this one bears much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing at all. If anyone does not remain in union with me, he is cast out as a branch and dried up. Men gather those branches up and pitch them into fire, and they were burned. If you remain in union with me, and my saying remains in you, as whatever you wish, and it will take place for you. My Father is glorified in this, that you keep bearing much fruit and prove yourself my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Remain in my love. So what does that mean to you, Robert?
Well, one of the ways I like looking at what Jesus is saying there is if you pick like a fruit tree, during a certain part of the season, the branches are pruned back. And every year, after the trees yield fruit, they prune the branches back so that the nourishment that tree or that vine, a grapevine or something, receives goes into the part that's going to produce the fruit next year. They get rid of the excess off the branch, and that way all the good stuff goes to the fruit when it produces the next season. We are in Christ, and without him being our vine, no nourishment goes to us. We have to recognize that in ourselves we can do nothing, that we are a part of the body of Christ, and the things that are in our lives that are non-productive, so to speak, will be pruned off as we yield ourselves unto him, as we submit ourselves unto God, resist the devil, then the things that was a part of our lives will begin to fall off, the non-productive, non-fruit-producing anything in our lives that is contrary to the will of God will be purged out of us. It's almost like I said, the grapevine. I pick grapes every season, and the man that owns the vineyard that I go to, every season he trims those vines back way high so that these grapes are on vines that have been growing for 50 years now. And some of those grapes look like silver dollars in size. There are huge grapes growing on these vines. He knows how to trim off the dead vines and get all the nourishment the branches into the place where the actual fruit is going to produce. Jesus is producing fruit in us as we yield ourselves unto him and allow the word of God to transform us and knock away, cut away the things that are contrary to his will.
Amen. It's kind of like, I've actually saw things like this, in the everyday life with churches. I saw some old churches actually disintegrate and fall away and new churches be born. And I saw some of the old churches from the old knowledge and way people would have more of a religion than actually, teaching way the Bible teaches. And you'll see these churches, they start wingling down to maybe, it might be 200 people there, and all of a sudden it's 100. All of a sudden, it's, before you know it, the church is dwindling down and it disappears. If the church is not feeding the people the way it should be, it's no need for it. It's no need. So God wants to send his Holy Spirit and his grace amongst these churches. It's feeding his people. It's bringing people into the harvest, not ones that's sitting there and not doing anything. And, you know, as a Christian, a lot of people don't see us as workers. I mean, they don't see themselves as workers. They see themselves as sitting in the pews every Sunday and getting a cookie and a Kool-Aid and sitting for a service. And that ain't what a Christian is. A Christian is a walking kingdom of God. God has built, I mean, if you're fully baptized by water and by spirit, you and God is living inside of you, you're a walking kingdom for God, and you've got to multiply these kingdoms amongst the world. So when you pray for these people and you get them into the kingdom, that creates a kingdom in them. And you ask for them to be baptized, or they pray for it to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, that gets the kingdom going inside of them. You multiply in the kingdom, not just the preacher that's preaching every Sunday, but the Christian himself is building kingdoms. And when you're building the kingdoms through other people, introduce them to the Lord, that's when you're in the vine of Christ. You're actually bringing people into the vine, and when they get saved and they get the Lord inside of them, what actually happens is that they become a part of the vine, and they start on from there. It's kind of like a pyramid plan, Colin. But anyway, you keep on building up. But the main roots is Christ. Christ is feeding us, the Holy Spirit. He's feeding us all things we need. And then he's getting his from the Father. See?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all coming up through him. He's the rich roots that we need to get all of our stuff from. And every time that we actually produce more fruit, The more, you know, like in a plant, the one that produces the most fruit gets most of the water through its vine. It gets most of the nutrients through its vine. So if you are actually producing a lot of fruit, a lot of people say, well, I lay hands on the sick and I only see a few people get healed. You ain't doing it enough. You ain't producing the most fruit. And I guarantee you, if you're out here praying for people every day, you'll see some crazy miracles happen. You'll see legs grow out. You'll see all type of things because you are building the kingdom. And God is going to feed more of his Holy Spirit through you. You are a God in you. It's just not all turned on until you actually produce fruit. Mm-hmm. And that's the key. And I've got friends of mine that works in the power, and they're constantly praying and doing all type of things for people. And they're building the kingdom. They're getting them saved. They're praying for baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I mean, they can touch you and you'll be shaking everywhere. And somebody else does it, nothing would happen because these guys are building the kingdom, and he's given all the nutrients through them, giving all the Holy Spirit through them because they need it. You know, if you need it and you're building the kingdom, you're going to get it. So, you know, being a working body of Christ, you're being produced, but if you never do anything, you ain't going to see a whole lot. You're not going to see a whole lot of, you know, wonders. You're not going to see a whole lot of stuff, and you ain't going to see a whole lot in your life if you never pray to Jesus. Maybe once every Sunday you go to your pew and you say amen with everybody in the crowd, and that's it. You ain't going to see a whole lot multiplying in your life. You just not. Now, I'm not saying everybody's in signs and wonders. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying at least build communication with the Lord, and when you do that, you start seeing, you know, some of that stuff building up inside of you, and you start just talking to a friend at work about Jesus and talk about, you know, bring them into the kingdom, tell them, you know, about the God of love that loves them, that died on the cross for them. When you do that, it opens their eyes. See, everybody, a lot of these religions has been talking about, you know, all the, you know, God sees you doing this, God's seeing you do that. Talk about the love of Christ and open their eyes, and then the Lord will do the rest of it, and have them to introduce, you know, to come to the Lord, ask him to come into their heart, and then you start building the kingdom, and then they're adding on to the vine that you're connected to.
Amen. You know, the fruit that we are supposed to be producing is written in Galatians chapter 5, verse 21 and 22. The fruit that is supposed to be producing on our branches is the fruit of love, peace, joy, patience, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control, the nine fruit of the Spirit. When we become a part of the body of Christ, Jesus has given us hope to be able to do as he does. He is the vine. He is the source of our nutrition. He is the origin of life. And as we, the branches who are attached to that vine, learn how to submit ourselves unto God, transform the way we think, love God more than you love anything, put God first, don't chase signs, chase God, be a God chaser, not a sign chaser, because Jesus told the Pharisees and the wicked generation, he said, you generation of vipers always looking for a sign. They had the wrong attitude. They were self-centered. They were religious, and they weren't about the Father's business. They weren't helping people and getting people to become a part of the family of God. They were just trying to live a demonstration of something that was fake to the people. And Jesus came and he shut that down and showed them what they were supposed to be doing is what he himself was doing. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. Everyone who comes to him is given new life. He is supplying all the nutrients and the things that we need to sustain us in our walk with God. And then as we yield ourselves unto him, the fruits produce on our branches, the fruit of the Spirit, that we're supposed to be taking out into this world where there's lost and there's dying and giving them hope by feeding them the fruit that is hanging on our branches. We are trees that are planted in him. He is the river of living water. He is the good and fertile soil. And we are planted in him, and we're supposed to be living the demonstration of these fruits of the Spirit to the world so the world can see him come to us to feed on what we have to produce in on our branches and be drawn into the presence of the living God along with us. So then they, too, become branches that produce these same fruits. I had a couple guys in my Bible study at work that have been taking advantage of some of the things that I bring and give to people constantly. I buy drink mixes and things of that nature, and I set them in a drawer, and people, if they need something to drink, come and get it, you know. I bring a canister full of coffee every day. Anybody who wants, you know, I give it away. I buy the coffee, I buy the sugar, I buy the creamer, I drink what I want, and I take the rest and give it away every day. So I have told a couple of these guys, I said, look, guys, y'all need to stop just taking these drink mixes and periodically come and hand me some money so that we can go buy extra and give to others. I said, I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to teach you how to be a giver like your Heavenly Father. I'm trying to teach you to consider others and put others before yourself. Don't always come over here and take it just because you know it's available. Think about somebody else. So that's what giving some of that fruit away is all about, teaching other people how to trust God, how to help others, love others, and treat others the way you want to be treated. Amen?
Amen. That's one of the things we have problems with the new generation. They just want to take, and they don't really want to give away. And that's one thing, you know, that's one thing mankind needs to learn is to, you know, try to help your brother, help your sister, help, you know, help your neighbor. And when you do that, it shows the love of Christ. And the simplest thing to being in the body of Christ is just helping another person. You don't have to be throwing a Bible at them and screaming at them. You can just open the door for them.
Come on.
Help somebody cross the road. Or, you know, if somebody standing at the drink machine don't have no change in their hand, give them 75 cents. I mean,
that's right.
Something that simple. It don't have to be extremely hard. I mean, you can, I mean, every day of your life can be walking like Christ, and it doesn't mean throwing Bible hymns at everybody. And some people do that, and that's great. But you don't have to do that to show Christ. Christ did things for people every day. He helped the sick. Mm-hmm. He helped wash feet. He always doing stuff for people. And that's the one thing that we've got to be doing. We've got to be walking in the shoes of Jesus. That's how we're acting like the vine. We've got to act like the vine. If we don't act
that's
like
right.
the vine, we're not part of the vine. You know? If you ain't acting like the vine, you're not part of the vine. So act like the vine where you'll be part of the vine. And then you will bear fruit. And the thing of it is, I remember this story that this person was saying, was talking about on the radio. He said, this guy works here at the soup kitchen. He said, he's the nicest guy I ever saw in my life. He feeds me. He asked me if I needed anything to take home where I could shave and all this. Here was actually a homeless guy talking. He said, this guy will do anything for me. He will help me any way he can. He said, he really shows love to everybody he goes through there. He said, and the guy told him, he said, he's a Christian. He says, do you know Jesus? And he's like, nah, but he said, if Jesus is anything like this guy, I think I'd want to listen to him. So that's the main thing. We're representing the vine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we want people to know Jesus through us, not how mad we are at people and screaming and yelling hate at them and, well, you did this wrong, you did that wrong, and that seems more like the enemy than Jesus, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So we've got to show love to people. We've got to show what Christ wants because people saying we're in our last days, you know, we don't really know what's going on. We see things going on there, but we don't know when the Lord is coming. And do you want the Lord to be knocking on your door and see you screaming at somebody or cutting somebody down or stealing or robbing? You want the Lord to see you doing that? I don't think you do. I think you want to be a part of the vine and represent him and be loving people when he comes knocking on your door. Because you don't want him to be knocking on your door and see what you see what you're doing and closing the door. You don't want that.
You want him to
be proud of you. You want him to say, there is my faithful servant right there. He's working for me now. He's talking to these people. He's showing my love to these people. And that's one thing. If the person don't know Jesus, they need to know you and know the love in you is from Jesus. And with you showing the love of Jesus, they'll start to know Jesus. And that's one of the main things we've got to learn is show the love where when we talk to Jesus, they will see Jesus in us and make them want to become a Christian. You know.
Amen.
That's one of the main things.
Right.
Yeah.
That is right. It's so important. You know what? I heard my friend, we was talking about him earlier, Brother Andrew Womack, he said, you know, most people, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, they could find enough evidence to find you guilty.
I'm like,
that's
wow.
And it is so sad, but it's true that there's so many people who they say they are Christian, but they're not demonstrating that they are Christian. They're Christian because they go to a certain church. They're Christian because they teach a Sunday school class. They're Christian because this is where my mom and daddy went and I'm going there too. Whatever their reason, they think they're Christian and they don't understand that it's a relationship with Jesus. That's what Christianity is. It's a relationship with the Lord. And in that relationship, you learn how to get rid of your desires and you take on his desires. You learn how to be like him and deny yourself. John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that he may increase. You've got to get to the place where you learn how to deny yourself, and you can't do that unless you're renewing your mind by hearing the Word of God. The Word of God will rebirth our souls. It says over in the book of Psalms, chapter 19, verse 7, that the word, the law of the Lord is perfect, able to convert the soul. The word convert there means restore to its original condition. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed to the image of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only way you're going to get to where you're stopping doing the bad things that you used to do and going back to the vomit like a dog returns to his vomit, the old lifestyle that we used to live, the being angry and hateful into becoming loving and kind and merciful and compassionate, is to allow the Word of God to transform you so that you are demonstrating what it looks like to be hooked up to the vine. And then you being a branch, this is going to be a natural occurrence for the old stuff that was dominating your life to fall off, and the new stuff, the new seed, the new fruit, which is the fruit of the Spirit, will have no choice but to produce through you. You've made yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, and by allowing your life to be submitted unto God, and then that Word of God transforms your thinking and gives you the mind that is in Christ Jesus. It brings your thoughts to His level of thinking. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, it says that His thoughts and His ways, they are greater and higher than our thoughts and our ways. It doesn't say we can't have them. He wants us to have them so that we can be these branches producing His fruit. It's His fruit.
Amen.
His Father's character. Amen. Amen.
I had a unique message from the Lord today. He was talking to me in my heart. He saw me. What is so unique? The Lord is connected to you. He's living inside of you, and you've got your own cell phone stuck to Him, and He sees your thoughts. He knows your thoughts. He sees everything. You can't hide anything from Him. I found out the hard way many times, because as soon as I start thinking something stupid, He's like, yeah, I see that. You don't do that. You know? So, and there's been a many times He had to do that, but today I was thinking about some people. He said, yeah, He said, He told me, He was like, yeah, He said, everybody has their own story, has their own unique story. Each person in this world has their own unique story about where they came from, about where they come, where they are now, and how that story started. And see, each person has their unique story. And when we start judging people, we don't know their story.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that maybe when they was a child, they, you know, their parents left them. And maybe they was dragged up through, you know, child cares and all this other stuff. We don't know that, but there is a unique story to every person. No matter what their situation is, there is a unique story to these people. And what's so unique is the Lord knows these stories by heart. Every story about every person, you could sit there and talk to Him. He can tell you from the day he was born all the way up to where he is now. And He knows it by He's got it memorized, dude. He even knows your story like nobody's business. You can't fool the Lord. He knows you. And what's so funny is I was sitting there, I was falling into judgment, and the Lord says, you know, the first thing He started saying to me is this person has a unique story. Mm. And then when He said this person has a unique story, He started getting me thinking, why am I judging? I don't know this dude's story. Why should I say anything? Why should I even think this? Because this guy has a story that I have no idea about, that it might be, you know, might be in a situation, you know, that they are there. And one thing I want to remind you all is no matter who you're looking at or who you're judging at, remember, they have a story. It might be a bad story, and it might start, the story might start to get better. But the thing of it is, there's always something where the enemy has actually manipulated to get that story messed up to a point where the Lord is trying to start His part in the story to get the person doing better things. So when you're seeing this person, you say, you know, maybe this guy had a bad childhood or something like this. Maybe I could say something nice to him today. Say, how you doing today? God bless you. I mean, that's simple. You know, just something simple of a blessing or great job or something like that can multiply in all type of things in this guy's life. You don't know what it can do. One little bad rock thrown in somebody's life can cause a ripple too. So you got to remember, anything that you say to a person, a lot of us don't really pay attention to what we say to people. It's just, you know, it's just a word, but we don't realize what that ripple effect does in a person's life. So when you see that person at work, or you see that person walk down the road and say, how's it going, ma'am? Have a blessed day. The Lord loves you. Or God bless you. And it'll make a ripple effect through their lives, and maybe they'll say that to the next person they see. It might be, you know, early in the morning, and you're starting their day off with this word, and maybe that will cause them to have a good day. You don't know what your word will say. So always think each person has their own story. And just think the Lord knows all of our stories, and none of us is no perfect than the other, because we're all human, and God is transforming us into His image. So we're all going through this transformation. We're all learning. A lot of people have learned more than others, and some ain't. Some of them stuck, and some of us is, you know. But the Lord is working with us. So just learn to love your brothers and sisters.
Amen. Amen. That's some good preaching, Stan. That's some good preaching, brother. You know, we have a coworker at our job that I don't know if you've met him or not, but I'm not going to mention his name, but this man lived on the street for many years. When he came to work at our plant, he started coming to our Bible study there in the shipping department, and when he sat down and started listening to the word, I started noticing him just sitting there going, my God, shaking his head, like, wow. And then he comes to me and he said, you know what? He said, brother, I have never heard anybody teach the word like this. He said, you have got it. Not puffing me up or nothing, but he heard me speaking, preaching the message of grace and truth. I committed to do what Jesus did and preach the message Jesus preached. And this man, he went from having nothing to putting on a cookout this past summer where he bought 25 T-bone and ribeye steaks, had them cooked, brought potato salad and all kinds of fixings to go with those steaks. And he said, brother, I want you to come and preach the word of God at a park up in Newton, North Carolina. And he put it on. And he said, I just want you to come preach the word. I'm going to invite a bunch of people. There was about 15 to 20 people at the park that day that he invited to come and eat steaks and hear the word of God preached. He went to man on the street. Amen. Yeah. That's exactly what you're talking about.
Amen.
That's exactly
Amen.
What you're talking about. Amen.
But it's awesome how God can get your attention just by your thought and teach you a lesson from your thought.
Yes, it is.
It's pretty unique how he does things. And I'm telling you, I'm feeling his glory now just talking about it. I was feeling him nudging me inside of me just saying this. But he is paying attention. He does love everybody. A lot of people don't know this. I mean, we've been fed in the old-time religion for so many years, and we've actually had a bunch of crap downloaded in us that sometimes the Lord has to clean out. His blood has to clean out. The Holy Spirit has to clean out. Now, one thing a lot of people know is that the Holy Spirit, he's the power God, does all the power and all this stuff, but he is the garbage man, too, for you. He's going to clean He's your garbage man to clean the garbage out. So when he comes in you, he's got a lot of work to do in you. And sometimes I'll just say more people have got more garbage than others. And it takes a little time. There's some people that's been so, you know, put in the Word of God, it don't take a whole lot. But there's some people that's been rolled in religious beliefs, rolled in what their mom and daddy said, rolled in what their great-grandma said, and rolled what their neighbor said, that all these beliefs have stuck in here, and they've got a whole big old round ball of garbage stuck to them. And every time they hear about Jesus Christ, all that garbage comes right to their mind, and they think, oh, God, he don't like me because I did this and that. Oh, I've not went to church every Sunday. Oh, man, I've not paid my tithes in a long time. Then all these things are popping in there, and all of a sudden they jump out of the church because they're not good enough. Jesus didn't come to pay his price for the perfect people. He came to pay the price for the unperfect people. That's why he came here, and that's why he came for us. He knows we ain't perfect. His 12 disciples was all sailors and fishermen. You know they were perfect by no means. He's probably trying to stop them cussing while he's gathered around him, because you know how sailors and fishermen are. That's the way they are. So, I mean, he picked imperfect people to be his disciples. Look at Saul. That turned into Paul. Was he perfect? By no means. He was killing Christians.
Yeah.
I mean, he picked these people. He wants to turn you into love. He don't want to turn you into, you know, something people want to run away from. He wants to turn you into him. So, you know, he ain't going out to find the Pope, by no means. He's out to find the person on the street, the housewife that's in the house all by herself all day long, the hard worker, the guy, you know, that's pushing the lawnmower, the guy that's, you know, running the bandsaw, all these people he's looking for, because he's looking for you. He wants to put his love inside of you. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you've never experienced the love of God, it's beyond anything that you can imagine. If he would open up his love and his glory inside of you, I felt this, man, I'm telling you, I felt this. And it is more than what you would love your wife, your girlfriend, your kids. It's more than all of that put together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's that extreme. And when he pours that in you and it starts coming out of you, it's something, it's like taking a bath after not taking baths for weeks. I mean, I can't explain it, but it's just love coming out of you. And I'm going to give you an example. I ain't even told Robert about this. But anyway, I was having a problem maybe a couple of weeks ago, and I said, Lord, I mean, I was having a hard time. I was like, Lord, show your love to me. He started showing his love to me. And I was mowing Robert's yard with my friend, and all of a sudden, he filled my heart with love so much I couldn't stay on the lawnmower. I started bursting out laughing. And I was, what's his name? The little guy that works with me, Brad.
Brad?
Brad was looking at me like I was crazy. What's wrong with this guy, man? I thought, Jesus, I've got to give some of this to Brad. So I was riding over to his lawnmower. I said, hey, Brad, say this. Jesus, give me your love. And then he rode off in his lawnmower. He started bursting out laughing, and his wrist got healed, man. As soon as I said his wrist got healed. I didn't know he had wrist problems. He said, my wrist don't hurt no more. All of a sudden, the glory hit him. And he was sitting there laughing, mowing too, and everybody in the yard thought we was all something, because we was all laughing in the glory. Just because I was having a bad day that day, and the Lord was wanting to reveal his love to me. Mm. I mean, that's how much he loves his children. He will do anything to show you how he loves you. He loves you that much. And at this time, Heavenly Father, I ask you to put your love in Jesus' name. Put your love amongst the people that's listening to this broadcast now. Hit them with your Holy Spirit. Just fill their love, fill their heart with your love. Let their heart be bubbling over in your love. Give them the joy of the Lord. Give them your joy, Lord. Just give them your joy right now. Just give it to them. Give it to them. Just fill them up with your joy. Just let them see what I felt that day. Just fill them up. Fill them up. Fill them up, Lord. Just fill them up with your joy. Let them be bubbling over in your love. Let them be bubbling over in your love. Just hit them right now. Just hit them right now, Lord. Just fill them up. Fill them up. Even hit Robert, too. Fill him up, too. Hit all these people up. Fill them up with your joy. There you go. There you go.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Holy Spirit kicking in now.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know
how we got
from the vine to this, but anyway, the Holy Spirit took over, and Lord knows what's going to happen, you know?
Amen.
Go ahead, bro. You're talking about
him knowing everything, all the little intricate details and the thoughts, and that just reminds me of what he did this past week for me. I was getting ready to pack my lunch and go to work, and I had a banana laid on my counter that was half rot and half good. And I looked at it and I said, you know what, I'm not going to take that banana. I'm just going to throw that away. And then immediately I felt in my spirit that I need to bring that banana with me. I said, okay, I'll just take it. I'm talking to myself. I said, I'll just take that banana and I'll cut the bad off, throw it away, and eat the good. Packed it in my lunch bag. And I got to work, set my bags down on my desk, turned around and looked at my computer. There was a banana laid on my computer that had not one spot on it. Not one brown spot was on the banana that was laid on my computer. I just looked up and began to worship and praise the Lord. I bet you I told 100 people this testimony since last week about how
the Lord wanted me to tell you and tell you that that banana's representing you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Not a spot. Come on, hallelujah. Amen. Good fruit. Fruit good to eat. Hallelujah. For everybody,
amen.
Come pick from this tree. Pick from this branch. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord is moving in this place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's awesome. Awesome. Praise the
amen.
Lord. This
but,
has been a good night.
I was going to tell anybody that ain't really gave yourself to the Lord, I ask you now to just say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I hand all my sins to you.
I hand all my sins to you.
And I ask you into my heart.
And I ask you into my heart.
I accept that you died on the cross for me.
I accept that you died on the cross for me.
And I accept that you rose on the third day for me.
I accept that you rose on the third day for me.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. If anybody just said this prayer to the Lord, just come rushing into your heart, rushing into your chest. You are now born in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And I want to welcome you to the family. Anybody just said that
amen.
Prayer, I just welcome you into the family. And I always like to do this every show I do. Sometimes I miss it sometimes, but I try to get, you know, have an introduction for people to accept the Lord. So,
yeah.
Robert, look like the Lord has really been moving in our lives this week and, teaching us all something different this week.
Amen. Amen. Yes, he has.
It's always
amen.
Awesome. I always want it's awesome to live a supernatural lifestyle in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean,
yes, sir.
Like they say, you know, Sid Roth was talking about, he's like, you know, is it supernatural or is it natural? Is Jesus supernatural in your life or is he natural? And to
come
me, that's natural to me. It ain't no supernatural. It's just natural. And the thing of it is, your life is never boring. It's always interesting because he's always showing you something different in your life every day. It might be a word of knowledge. It may be a healing. It may be love filling you up. It may be him teaching you something in the word. It may be anything, but it's all natural because he loves you and he died for you and he paid for all that.
Yes.
I want to encourage everybody to live that natural life, not just a supernatural, but make the supernatural your natural life. Just ask the Lord Jesus into your heart. And Robert, thank you again for coming on the show tonight. We had a great show.
Yes, amen. Thank you for having me.
And sorry about the 20-minute show again from last week. Well, we had some technical issues last week, and this week we got it straightened out. So we had a good 45-minute show this week, but I want to thank everybody for listening to the show this week, and I hope this broadcast has blessed you in some way, and I hope it keeps blessing you, and I ask you to come and listen to us Saturday morning at 10 a.m., and Chris Crutchfield will be my co-host for the weekend show, and we'll be bringing a great topic for you, and I hope y'all stop in and listen. God bless every one of y'all. Y'all have a great night.
Good night.
We have raised 1,000 voices just to lift your holy name. And we will raise 1,000. sends more to sing of your beauty in this place.